Dedicated to the survival of American democracy in an increasingly dangerous world, this is Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney, acted as Assistant Secretary of Defense for International Security Policy under President Ronald Reagan, founder and president of the Center for Security Policy in Washington, D.C., the go-to man for defense and foreign policy issues, joined by the greatest minds in the security policy business, the special forces in the war of ideas at Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.
Welcome to Secure Freedom Radio. This is Frank Gaffney, your host and guide for what I think of as an intelligence briefing on the war for the free world. And who better to talk about, well, intelligence and the war for the free world than a member of the House Intelligence Committee, a distinguished public servant, both in his capacity on Capitol Hill, representing the people of the 2nd District of Utah, but also with a very distinguished record of service in the United States Air Force, including as a command B-1 bomber pilot, in which aircraft he set, in fact, the world speed record for around-the-world travel. It is a great pleasure to have him back. Congressman Chris Stewart is his name. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. Good to have you with us.
Good morning.
We're going to be talking in the rest of the program with Diana West about an article that she has written, and I'm sort of doing this backwards, but I wanted to get your thoughts about a concern that she has expressed, which I share, I must say, that we are pursuing, your committee, among others, the prospect that the Russian government intervened in our election, and we know that because, according to the FBI and all intelligence community agencies, we're told that the Russians got into the Democratic National Committee's computer systems and hacked them and then leaked some of their contents. Can you shed any light on the veracity of all of that, Congressman Stewart? Diana West has got reason to be very skeptical about it, as do I.
Yeah, and I share her skepticism. And I have to be a bit careful, as you know, sitting on the committee, you can't confirm or deny. But I can say this, that there are enormous gaps and unexplained events that took place that I think the FBI and the FBI director need to explain to us. Let's suppose that what she said there is true. And by the way, I think it probably is true. Then it makes no sense at all for the FBI to have conceded to a third contractor rather than pursue some of the stuff themselves, when it is one of the basic tenets of this story.
Indeed it is. Let me just ask you, to the extent that there is a potential alternative theory of the case, that Bureau has been relying on a contractor, but that there were other contractors who may have had access to the DNC, including several Pakistani nationals through your colleague Debbie Wasserman Schultz's iPad. I wonder whether this really doesn't require a thorough review by your committee, among others, perhaps, Congressman. We're not seeing much of the investigation to date into this House IT scandal involving perhaps 20 or more Democratic members of the House. But are you satisfied that the committee has got its hands around this yet, or that it will before it's done?
Yeah, well, not yet to your first question, and yes to your second. And the second being, of course, that we will get our hands wrapped around this by the time it's over. I'm not as concerned about some of the, you know, accusations of Pakistani contractors or IT people. I think we've looked at that and had those questions answered. But, Frank, there are, as I said, enormous holes in explanations. And one of the frustrating things, in fact, I just walked out of Intel this morning and I'm just banging my head against the wall saying we've got to be able to declassify some of this information for the American people. We can't understand the context of so much of what is in the press or what we're talking about without some of this being declassified. And some of it is not sensitive. Some of it is stuff that they could hear and that would, as I said, would help them understand this more fully. That's one of the things that I'm really, really pushing to do. You know, there's no question that Russia is sought to interfere. I came back from Moscow last September, and I said that in a dozen interviews. But the narrative that they wanted Trump to win over Hillary is simply unsubstantiated from the raw intelligence. I said that in open hearing with Mr. Comey. And there's just, that's just one example of the story that's being written about this right now. It just really isn't accurate, and it's got huge holes that we need to fill in.
Congressman, let me switch gears on you. I've got a couple of other things that I want to talk to you quickly about. What do you make, having spent some time in the Middle East and certainly studying it closely in your current capacity, about developments involving this nation, Qatar, which of course has some important U.S. bases on its territory? We're taking, a hands-off approach to it at the moment, but a number of the countries that the president has recently been romancing have been very, very aggressively trying to shut down what the Qataris are doing with the Muslim Brotherhood and jihadism more generally. What are your thoughts on that, sir?
Yeah, you know, this is it's like a bowl of spaghetti spilled on the ground. And they're all different strands of a different color and trying to make sense of it. But I'm glad that we're seeing some pressure on Qatar or any of these countries that have been supporting some of these Islamic terrorists in ways that they haven't been held accountable for. Now, Qatar has been an important ally to us in many ways. And as you know, it's not only a base, it's one of the more substantial bases that we have in the area. It's a very important U.S. asset that we have there. And we need to be able to maintain that. But on the other hand, just to maintain that presence, we can't turn a blind eye to some of the very destructive behaviors of some of the Qatar leaders or anyone else in the area, frankly. And, you know, I think that this is good for us to cast a little light on this and to put a little pressure on. And by the way, the real core of this, the thing that's really pushing this, is this a previous alignment that President Obama had and preference towards the Persians, towards Iran, and as you and I have talked about, that's clearly not a good idea, and it wasn't in U.S. interest, and I think that should be corrected as well.
Congressman, speaking of the jihadis, there is a lot of talk, as we've been discussing, about Russian interference in our elections. I'm going to explore with Diane in a moment, but I'd like to get your thoughts on this as well. The jihadist intervention in the British election just recently. There seems to be growing signs that what the Brits are facing, and perhaps others in Europe, and maybe we here at home in due course, is more like an insurgency, really, than just random acts of terrorism, particularly by lone wolves. Is that overstating the case as you see it now? And did the election suffer at the hands of these, terrorist acts?
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna be careful on how I answer that, and partly just because I don't have enough information yet to really reach a conclusion, except for this. I'm speaking more broadly, not specifically about the British election, but again, more broadly, not just about Britain, but frankly, all of Europe. Oh, my heavens, they have a huge challenge ahead of them. We're watching nations commit suicide by a thousand cuts, and seemingly willingly, in the sense that they have an enormous threat from within. I can't begin to tell you the number of people that they have within their borders, and not just Britain, but again, throughout Europe, who have gone to Syria, gone to Iraq, gone to other places in war-torn countries to receive meaningful and incredibly dangerous military training, who now come back into their homeland. And in many cases, it is their homeland. They're actually born in the UK or in Germany or in France. And can operate, you know, without any suspicion within those countries. And we're seeing again and again them and the attacks that they propagated on the people. And I tell you, it's not going to go away, Frank. It's just beginning. And unless they are willing to actually confront that and deal with it in a realistic way and to call it what it is and then to take steps to deal with it, like I said, it's like they're going to bleed their countries to death one attack at a time and seemingly without, you know, the will to oppose that.
Yeah. Finally, Congressman, before we let you go, any thoughts on whether China is actually helping us with North Korea?
You know, I've had a bit of change of heart on that. When I was in China a year ago, I left there just shaking my head, saying they're not going to help us. I mean, they'll go through the motions and they'll say the right things, but they're really not going to help. But I do think I was there within the last few months again, and I do think there was a meaningful event that took place in that period of time, and that was the bombing of Syria, the U.S. missile attack on Syria. Because I think for the first time, you had leaders around the world to go, when this president says he's not going to allow North Korea to put nuclear-tipped ICBMs and point them towards the United States. He won't allow that. For the first time, I think many of them said, you know what, I think I believe him. And so Kim Jong-un has now been put in a position where China really wonders how long and in what way they can support him, that they've done in the past, and whether that's now in their interest. I'm not Pollyannish about this. I know that China has their own interest, and I know that China, you know, at the end of the day, would like to weaken the U.S. influence wherever they can. But on the other hand, they don't want 10 million refugees crossing the borders either. So I'm a little bit optimistic that China is actually going to engage now in ways that they haven't in the past.
Congressman, it's so good to talk with you. I hope you'll come back to us again very soon. In the meantime, get back to work at that intelligence committee. They need your oversight urgently. Next up, as promised, we'll talk with Diana West. Straight ahead.
Visit us at facebook.com/securefreedom with Frank Gaffney.